Hi, this is Hugh Greenwood from the North Melbourne Footy Club, and you're listening to another episode of the Hashtag Kangaroos podcast. Here is your host, Dean Basich.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasic. You can find me on X at hashtag Kangas, Instagram hashtag Kangaroos Podcast, TikTok hashtag Kangaroos 1. So tonight I welcome back the boys, Mark and Frank, my Monday or Tuesday regulars, depends what night I have free. So I'm just going to warn you guys, or lovely listeners, that it wasn't the most positive podcast I've ever had in my life. Obviously, maybe I'm a little frustrated. I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those days. Maybe it's Easter holidays and, yeah, I have to go back to work tomorrow. I'm not too sure, but it might be a combination of things. But look, I wanted to talk to the boys a little bit about our list demographic and, yeah, where it's going in the future, and is there someone to blame for this, I guess. We obviously talked about the Good Friday game, the disappointment there, the highway robbery, obviously, that's happened on Good Friday. So I don't want to waste any more of your valuable time. Let's bring on Mark and Frank to talk about it.
So welcome back, Mark and Frank, tonight, my Monday regulars. Boys, we have a lot to go through, and obviously a disappointing result for our marquee matchup against the Blues on Good Friday. Mark, I'll start with you this week. A lot of things went against us on Good Friday. Six day break compared to 14 or 15. Umpiring was as bad as it gets and one-sided, namely Nathan Toner. Pretty much may as well have had a Carlton jumper on. It was embarrassing how one-sided he was. But we struggled against the mature big bodies of Carlton, Mark, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. First of all, quick shout-out to Arden Street Psychiatrists who specialise in delusion and have been working with me for the last 3 or 4 days after I predicted we'd beat Carlton. I've got a mantra now. I'm not positive. I'm just delusional.
Yeah, I have to say that
100 times before I go to bed. it's not far wrong at the moment, the way it feels. But, yeah, I mean, look, you're absolutely right. The umpiring wasn't great. They did look a lot fresher than us. But that said, I think the lot of the negativity and, you know, a lot of the comments around list being poor and other stuff, I think it's a little bit overblown, and also around the defence. And of course, there's problems there. But I just think we've played three very good sides, and Carlton, you know, could go all the way this year. So I don't think we've disgraced ourselves in any of the games. I think we need to do a lot more defensively and a few other areas. And yeah, you're right, there are a few holes in the list, but I didn't think it was I didn't think it was horrific, but it was disappointing for sure.
Yeah, now we'll talk about the list very soon. I'm interested to get your thoughts on this one. Frank, next couple of weeks are going to be tough. We are looking at a pretty much 0-5 start, unless a minor miracle happens, and Brisbane can't focus this week with all the media reports about them. But we'll talk about Good Friday and get your thoughts on that. How do you feel about what we put up on Good Friday?
Look, Dino, I think there were some bright moments. I think without sort of focusing it on too much, my concerns, probably a lot of North supporters' concerns going into the year was our back line and that it was a little bit thin, and that was including Charlie Comben. So without him, I think Toby Pink's probably been exposed a little bit for just maturity and strength, and against two guys like Mackay and Curnow, we just had to keep the ball out of there if we were going to be any chance. And when we couldn't do that, I guess the inevitable happened and they just outmarked our back line. But I thought clearance-wise, you know, we were pretty good. A lot of the stats, we were, you know, either beat them or very close to them. Not all important ones. But I think it really just came down to the two lists are at, you know, completely opposite ends of the, you know, the premiership clock.
Yeah, pretty well summed up there, Frank. I think that sums it up. Now, we might as well talk about the list. And, Mark, I want to bring up something, and there's no doubt this list is very unbalanced. Probably worse than I thought, actually. We have too many of the same player in the half forward line that do their best work inside 50 metres. Stevenson is playing up the ground too much, as is probably Zane Duesma, Eddie Ford, and Cameron Zerha, a number of others as well. Too many midfielders. McKercher, who is doing well in the back line for his first year, is a natural mid, but forced to play back pocket because there's nowhere else. We don't have a key defender. We let go of one for pick three, which is understandable. That's Ben McKay, obviously. But we were badly exposed over the weekend. What I'm saying, Mark, Brady Rawlings has been there for 5 years, and that to me is enough to turn a list around. Should he be under more scrutiny than he is for creating this mess? Because we've won 10 out of the last 85 games.
Geez.
There's lots to take in there.
Yeah, but what do they always say? There's a lot to unpack. That's the term everyone loves to use. I haven't thought about Brady being responsible. I'd go back further than that, to be honest.
In terms
of the fact that we had, I mean, if you scrap almost a full list rebuild from when was it? End of 2020, when they delisted 10 or 11 players, you know, that period where Mason Wood, McMillan and everyone else went. In fact, McMillan was prior to that. But, yeah, I think they've made a decision at that time. They're just going to keep going best available, and usually best available is mids in those first-round picks. I think we've made some mistakes with early second-round picks still going with more mids again. And those mid-sized forwards. And then you've got things happening like, I mean, it's not just the forwards you mentioned. You've got Braden George, who's playing a halfback player who's always been a forward. You've got young Harvey, who's injured at the moment, who's also a sort of a mid-forward, not really a high-pressure small forward, which is what we really lack, which might force us to have to play Drury as a result of that. So you're right. I feel like they've... done a few things to help. At least Will Dawson's been brought in as a key defender and with some talent. And Mally's showing a lot of promise in the VFL already. And I'm hoping, obviously very hopeful, Combin will do well. And Sellers, of course. So look, at least they've brought some in. And I think from now on they're going to have to cherry... I don't think they should be drafting for the next 2 years. I think they should be cherry-picking needs. Unless there's some guns or they're splitting picks to get the type of players they need in the draft. I think they now need to keep bringing in mature bodies, whether they're role players or, you know, big list needs like a top line key defender. But you're right. It may mean that if Zerha leaves at the end of the year, it won't be good because obviously he's an important part of the club, but they've got about four other players that play a similar role at the moment. So they are going to have, you're absolutely right about the imbalance. We've certainly got, but we said we're going to go from the inside out, from the midfield out, and that's what they've done. But that's going to have to stop now. They're going to have to actually fix that up from the next 2 or 3 years if they want to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, at this stage, we'd have to say we'll finish bottom two. And the draft next year is heavily stacked towards a midfielder again. I mean, you can't just keep drafting midfielders for the next 5 years and expect it to work and just puts square pegs in round holes. Frank, I didn't even mention Braden George like Mark did, who also does his best work inside 50 as well. Look at his YouTube highlights and where he is on the ground when he does his best work. We've decided another square peg we'll put in a round hole and we'll put him off half back because there's no room for him.
Because of his knee, though, don't forget. Coming off a knee, they often like guys to be able to run in straight lines. That might be a bit of that.
Yeah, look, possibly, but I think it's more the other way that they've just put him off half back because we've got no room in the forward line. Mm-hmm. I don't think Frank will be turning this around for a long time. I think I don't think we're going to be playing finals for a long time, Frank. Should Brady Rawlings be under more spotlight than he is?
Well, I think Dean, who it wouldn't be his decision on his own.
No,
but I think that there would definitely be questions. I know a lot of people weren't in the Cameron Joyce camp. They've moved him on. But yeah, definitely. The other thing too, Dean, I think as well is, this time last year, we were probably hopeful that maybe McKay and Griffin Logue were going to be our defensive you know, key pillars there for the next couple of years. And as it turns out, one does his knee and one leaves. It was like the absolute worst case scenario for us, because it's probably the one spot, you know, having lost Robbie Tarrant as well back a few years ago, it was probably the one spot that we really couldn't afford to have too many changes. And as it turns out, they've happened, and this is like, you know, doomsday scenario at the moment. But I think you're right, Dean. I think we probably went one draft too many for best available rather than filling needs. And I didn't really enjoy watching Logan McDonald play reasonably well on Saturday either. I think it was Mark that may have said it. I think we've got to now really think about maybe if we're obviously going to get a pick in the first five or six, barring miracles. If Zerha was to leave, you think that might trigger another one? I'd be looking at trying to bundle something up and really getting an established key defender, maybe one who's interstate, wants to come back to Victoria. But in a nutshell, Dean, I agree with you. I can't see us patching up this back line anytime soon. And though in the midfield we're competitive, I think we're going okay in the forward line. I just don't think we can defend a winning score.
Mark?
Oh, I was going to say, it's I think the whole issue around defence is a team problem at the moment, though. It's not just the defenders themselves. It's a broad issue that's becoming frustrating for the supporters, because anyone who watched the Richmond game would be going, why aren't we putting in that level of heat, putting that sort of heat on the opposition? Because that's something, they're fit enough to do it now. It's not fitness. They're definitely fit. So that, to me, is the concern, is that they're not willing to be selfless enough, whether they're trying to protect and trying to get themselves, solidify their position in the team, and then just not playing that selfless footy yet. That's common amongst young teams when people are trying to establish themselves as the best 22 player. But they're going to have to get that message through, that if you don't start doing that, you can't play in the team, you know. I don't think they can protect people in that regard. If you're not doing the stuff when you haven't got the ball, it's not going to matter what you do when you do have it, because you won't play.
To give you an idea, Mark, Geelong had 25 tackles at quarter time today. Yeah. We're averaging 48 for a game.
Not good enough.
It's not good enough. I can't imagine any sides winning. I'd love to know how many sides have won averaging 48 tackles a game.
To be honest with you, I think our list position, the list situation and else is being made to look a lot worse, because we're not doing those sort of things. I think there's enough class on that list that they could, we can do better with a few holes in certain parts of the ground if we were 100% committed to a team, a selfless team game. And I think that's more as much of an issue as the list at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, well, I talked about tar forwards and you talk about pressure. They're all one pace. They're all too slow. Not one lightning quick forward that can put the pressure on. And that could be a problem as well, because the teams are transferring the ball from their defensive 50 to our forward 50 far too quickly without much pressure. If they run in waves, they'll get away from us. It's as simple as that.
Our forwards look a lot quicker when they have the ball than when the opposition does, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. And, Stevenson, Dersma, Eddie Ford, they're not quick players. Even Zerha, he's not a quick player. And they do try and chase, but when you've got elite running defenders that have got a little bit of pace and a little bit of skill, they'll get away from it far too quickly. And that's probably why we're not laying enough tackles either. So, there's a few holes. And just to be clear here, I'm not dismissing Will Phillips, Zane Dersma or McKercher. This is not their fault. And Dersma and McKercher look like quality footballers who are AFL ready, but I have to question the logic of drafting half forwards, half backs, and midfielders. No key position players until last year with Will Dawson, who was a reach at the time, expected to be drafted a lot later. I'm a little frustrated, boys, and I think Clarkson has a right to be as well. The best coach of the last 30 years, and even he can't make this work, and he should shed no blame for any of this. I don't think any of this is his fault. He's doing the best he can with what he has. Anyways, ran over from me. Let's review the game after that. Mark, we'll go to the back line now. And the big boys of Mackay and Kurnow are just too strong for Toby Pink and Callum Dawson. The boys battled hard, and when we turn it over, like we've talked about, then the rebound left them vulnerable and kicked nine goals. Those boys kicked nine goals between them. I know a lot of people are saying to drop Pink or drop Dawson, but I don't think they're the problem, and we kind of have no choice but to persist with them, Mark.
Well, who was Core playing on?
Very good question, Mark.
I'll get to him. I'll save that one for Frank.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, enjoy that, Frank, because I'll be agreeing with whatever you're about to say. It's mind-numbing. He's not giving anything. He's not taking a key player.
No.
He's turning the ball over. It's just insane how disappointing he is at the moment, given he's the only experienced defender we've got. Yeah, I don't blame Pink or Dawson. They're only going to get better. They've only played a handful of games. They're playing against the best forwards in the – they're playing against all Australian quality forwards with the ball coming in with no pressure on it. It's like it's a nightmare for any key backman. I think they'll be fine. I think Comben – I pray Comben comes in this week. It's interesting. Clarkson said Comben will be coming in. It's just a question whether it's up forward or in the back line.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But I suspect they'll play Sellers forward unless they don't quite think he's ready yet, although he's a real competitive beast from what I'm seeing in the VFL. He really attacks it hard and he's good on the leading. I'd be giving him a run. I don't see what they've got to lose there. And I'm also, I feel like that Finbar Malley is going to be very promising. For someone who's so raw, the guy's got unbelievable hands. He clunks the marks and he gets up high. So he's got some talent. I think there's been some clever recruiting there. Sellers pickups are clever. I think I'm hearing, I haven't seen him play, but I'm only hearing good things about Will Dawson. So I think there is some upside there to come into the side. And of course, Logue will eventually come back. But Comben's got to come into that back line. You know, I think David King made the comment on the weekend that he thinks McKerch is getting exposed because they're pulling him in deep, and I think that's right. I'd maybe send him up to a wing, which is what I'm just copying what David King said. I think that did make sense. In terms of the back line, I want to see Archer in there as soon as his body's right, as someone who will lock down and actually defend. We can't just have people running fast off half-back. We've actually got to stop people kicking goals in there. you know, I'm not criticising the fast-running players. I think Fisher's good in there. I think that should stay. I'm happy with. I know everyone wants Bailey Scott in the wing, but he's better at defending than a McKercher. You know, and Luke McDonald obviously can play that role, but I think eventually Jackson Archer will come in when his body's right, which doesn't seem to be too far off. But yeah, I think they need some players that can defend first, then attack. At the moment, it's like all out attack, and then a couple of raw key defenders that have barely played a game, and then you've got Core, who's horrifically out of form and missed most of the preseason. So I'd send Core back to get some confidence and build up some match conditioning and bring Comben in there. And I'd bring, you know, and then have a look at Sellers, Malley as options up forward and, you know, Drury as well. But I know they're trying to be patient with players, but they need to make some changes this week to say to players, you're not going to just keep playing without doing some of these key things. And a lot of it's tackling and pressure. That's what I want to see this week against Brisbane. Win or lose, and no one's expecting us to win, of course. But we've got to at least look like we're having a massive crack and putting heat on them. Because if you do that, you know, they're under a bit of pressure themselves. But then they won't be expecting North to throw much at them. So we need to do it because they're probably going to throw it at us. They can't afford to lose this game or their season's almost over.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Frank, I'll leave you the hard one. Aiden Core, and he obviously hasn't had a pre-season like Mark just said, but he was dreadful. No excuses, Frank. When he didn't have a matchup most of the game on one of the key big tools, he not once made an effort to be third man up and help the other guys. When he did get matched up on the odd occasion, he gave away a free kick because he panics and thinks he can bear hug a player in front of an umpire. I mean, what do we do with him, Frank?
Yeah, zero marks and zero tackles for the night. Which is, you know, just massively disappointing. He's completely out of form. Now, whether Clarkson brings in Comben and goes with the three talls at his expense, I could absolutely see it happening. But as both you and Mark said, I think he needs to go back, either get some confidence or some desire or both. because at the moment he looks to me like a guy who's thinks his position's pretty safe, and he's just not doing the one percenters that we need him to do. So yeah, horribly out of form. And I think he'd be on his last chance if he hasn't already spent it.
Oh, I have to think he has. I've never seen a player or a defender try and spoil a ball after a guy marks it. And 5 seconds later, he comes past and tries to spoil it. I go, what? Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him at the moment. Yeah. He's almost gone back to his form of the last couple of years. Besides,
well, that's how he started last season. It's exactly the same stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he needs match fitness. But he did some really strange things. Did a stupid kick to Tom Powell down the corridor under pressure. We crossed a goal. Dropped an easy mark with no one around him. Which I knew he was going to drop. I could see it coming from a mile away. But horribly out of form, out of confidence, whatever it is. But I think I agree with you, Frank. He needs to go to the twos and find some form. I don't care if he's experienced or not. We need players that have got some form in the reserves. So, like Mark mentioned, Charlie Conway, just put him in, see what he does. Couldn't do any worse. Yep. Mark and the midfield struggled against the big bodies of Carlton. They looked fresher and stronger after a big break than we did. But Tom Powell, 29 touches, 6 clearances, almost 500 metres gained, a team-high 6 score involvements, a good goal as well. He continues to impress, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, overall this season, very happy with Wardlaw, LDU, and Powell. I mean, Powell in particular is having a massive breakout season. I'm very glad we've got him secured for an extra couple of years as well. His value was going up by the week, so he would have had them coming for him. So it's good we've got him locked away. I'm a bit worried about after that. Simpkins still playing that high half forward role. Charlie Lazaro, again, really didn't get going. So the worry for me is that the three main midfielders are getting cooked and then they're having to play more minutes in there than they really should be. They're just not able to sustain it. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, we can't keep talking about Tarryn Thomas not being there, but that's really hurt them.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. So they're just the second wave of mids, we just don't have the... Ironically, given we've got so many on the list, but McKirch is too small to go in there now a great deal. So I do think Phillips needs to come in. I don't know how he played on the weekend, but it doesn't sound like his form's been good enough to warrant coming up yet, which is a bit frustrating. I would love to have seen him get a couple of 40 possession games and force his way back, but I think they need another extractor in there, and I'm sure Charlie will keep his place for the time being, but yeah, it's still not. I think Sheasel would be ideal to be playing more time in there, but they probably feel like they have to have him on the back line for his distribution of the ball and his decision making.
Mm. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's getting too many cheap possessions in the back line at the moment. He's getting over 30, which is good. Like, he uses the ball generally pretty well, but I guess they need his creativity off the half-back line at the moment. And, yeah, I'm a bit surprised he still hasn't gone in for a centre bounce this year, so after a pre-season where he did go in a few times. So I'm not sure what the forward planning is for him at the moment. Frank, towards the end of the first half, we put Simpkin on ball. I think even Nick Larkey was in the ruck, and we got a couple of clearances. And LDU, after being held in the first half, was starting to look all right. Then we went back to playing Simpkin high half forward again. I found it a little strange in the second half, especially at the end of the first half. We put him back there. How do you see that? Do you think that's working, playing Jai Simpkin? Because he's not as a high half forward, because he's not getting many touches.
No, I think this must be... I'm hoping that it's still part of his concussion sort of rehab, in that maybe they don't want to expose him to that centre traffic at this stage. And so they're easing him back into it, maybe. Because, yeah, like you said, Dean, we've probably got half a dozen guys that we could roll through that half forward, high half forward role and see whether they could do it. I think we're probably getting to the stage where what he can contribute in the middle of the ground outweighs what he does at half forward. But understanding that We don't know where he sits medically in his recovery. I mean, he's out there, so obviously you'd have to think that he's 100%. But I just wonder whether there's some concerns there about getting him in there too early. But we look better with him in the middle.
Oh, we certainly did the few times he went in there on Friday night. So I was a bit surprised they didn't play him in there more. Maybe just could have... Yeah, I mean, I couldn't sub anyone out, obviously, with a CCJ injury, but maybe put Charo Lazaro as a half forward or forward pocket. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it would have made much of a difference, to be honest with you.
And just, Dean, just to touch on what Mark said before, Will Phillips had 20 disposals in the reserves, four kicks and 16 handballs, which is the Will Phillips way, but did lay eight tackles and had four centre clearances. So... not world beating numbers, but at least he's heading in the right direction.
Certainly hope so. Now, Mark, a player that seems to escape scrutiny and has basically done nothing all season, and I know all the players are really giving this guy the rusty trombone in the preseason, but Darcy Tucker just seems to be coast through games, and should he be getting a game, Mark? Eight possessions, four in the first 10 minutes, and barely sighted all game after that.
No, I think Taylor got injured, didn't he? So he didn't get through the game in the reserves. So I don't know who's going to. I agree with you 100%. He's done nothing in 3 weeks in a row. Now, from an offensive perspective, I don't know if he. I haven't been at the games live because obviously in New South Wales, so I'm not seeing. Sometimes you can't see what's going on around the field, but unless he's doing something magical when he doesn't have the ball, which is a lot. Defensively, I'm not sure what he's adding at the moment. He looks way down on form. You've got to be getting 17 or 18 possessions as a wingman. You know, somewhere between 14 to 18 to be doing your job as well as the defensive stuff. You can't be getting 10 or 11 and not really impacting. He doesn't look like he's laying a whole stack of tackles, but he's obviously doing some two-way running and maybe he's important structurally, but, yeah, it's hard to see what value he's bringing at the moment.
No, he's probably been as effective as a witch's hat at the moment, to be honest with you. He's not quick enough for the wing, I don't think, either. Generally, you associate wingers having a bit of run and carry and a bit of pace out wide. But, he's very one-paced. I think the simple fix for me, like you mentioned earlier, Mark, is putting Colby McKercher on the wing and get rid of Darcy Tucker out of the team because Colby McKercher's getting exposed a bit too much in the back line. I think he'd be a perfect wingman. He's got a bit of pace. He can run and carry. He can kick the ball inside 50. So I think that would be worth a try at least. But
either that or Jaden Stevenson. He's playing up the ground anyway, bringing him right up the ground onto the wing.
I don't know. I don't like the way Stevenson uses the ball inside 50. He generally turns it over. I think his best football has always been inside the 50-metre arc. But the problem is, like we've talked about before, we've got Paul Curtis, who's doing really good things inside 50. We've got a number of other forwards like Verha seem to do their best work inside 50, but you can't play them all in there at the same time. So,
and I don't know, Jaden Stevenson doesn't strike me as a guy that would push too hard into the back half when his opponent gets the ball or he doesn't have it. So... he's just another one that his best footy's probably at half forward, but at the moment it's just not happening.
No. But just with the Harry Scherzer one, like I mentioned before, Frank, now he had 32 touches, but maybe he is getting too many cheap ones. I'm not so sure. Like he does use the ball well, so that's probably been a bit harsh on the kid as well. Are you happy to keep him in the back half and not try him, for a five or six CBAs in a game?
I think it's probably getting to the stage now where they look to put him in. I know we did it at times last year, gave him some centre bounces. I don't think it's too far away, personally. I think we're probably down one quality rotation to help out LDU and Tom Powell. He looks like he might be physically mature enough to go in there and be able to help, him and Simkin. I think they like the fact that he uses the ball really well. But yeah, I think there's other concerns now that they'd be starting to look at. And I mean, and again, unfortunately, he did play a lot of his junior footy as a half forward. So there must be even a temptation there to see if he can give us a different look up in the forward line. But I think at this stage, mate, I'd be happy to see him press into the middle a bit more and find someone else to develop at half back.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not panic stations, I guess, just yet. But you'd have to think, well, we've got a couple of tough games. I think Alistair Clarkson will make changes and he'll probably throw a few magnets around. It wouldn't surprise me to see Harry Shees a little bit in the midfield this week.
Yeah.
Forward line mark, Paul Curtis, another three goals and looking more and more dangerous each week, has kicked 8 goals in 3 games. He's someone that is stepping up big time, Mark.
Yeah, didn't he take a lovely grab as well?
Mm.
He's a dangerous forward. The more we get the ball in there, the more damage he's going to do. It's a bit frustrating because we need a better mix in there of being able to hold the ball in and at the same time, you've got to have the quality goal kickers in there. Larkin Curtis are clearly our two best forwards in terms of being dangerous at the moment. Larky, I wish, would stop trying to look for a free kick and just go for his marks a bit more without even worrying about what the opposition's doing, as clever as he is in that situation. But he does need some help, and he hasn't had any in the air so far this season, absolutely none at all. So, and I'm not going to be nasty to Callum Coleman-Jones, obviously terribly disappointing that he's had that injury. But, if we're being honest, he was struggling with his role in the side. Regardless of the fact he got injured. So I think something had to change there, would have had changed there anyway. And I think this week they're going to have to have a different look. There's some options there. There's whether it's Comben, if he doesn't go back, whether it's Sellers, whether it's Malley, and whether it's Drury in there. Drury's been kicking goals and getting 20 possessions, and you know he'll play his role as a defensive player as well. So, I agree with everything you say. I mean, Curtis is an absolute gun of a player. He's got some X factor, which we desperately need. So keep him in there. He's doing a great job. I just think they need the balance in the forward line to get a bit better.
Yeah. We might as well go to you, Frank. What do you think about the balance? Obviously, it's very imbalanced there. We've mentioned a number of times in these podcasts. We seem to have all these players that just do their best work inside 50 metres, but we can't play them all there. We can't fix this and drop them all. It's really in between a rock and a hard place for these players and trying to find the right mix. Isn't that right, Frank?
Yeah. Our efficiency inside 50 was 39% to, Carlton's 55. Now, I don't think you're going to win too many games with that kind of efficiency. So I think there's probably been a part that maybe there's some that aren't working hard enough inside the forward 50. And it's a matter of finding the ones that are prepared to do that work. Now, whether that means moving the magnets or dropping players that aren't doing enough, I could see both of those things happening. I just probably think they're not going to make wholesale changes, like 4 or 5 ins for this week. But I think they've got to find a balance there. Either we're too attacking and not defensive enough in the forward 50, the guys that are there just aren't quite, we haven't quite got the balance right.
No, we don't have a small forward, a genuine small forward.
No.
I think Paul Curtis is okay at it, but he goes up for the mark as well. So, yeah, whereas Stevenson, I feel like, looks a bit lost out on the football field at the moment as to what his role is. Eddie Ford was a sub again 2 weeks in a row. He's far too good to be playing that role. But, Mark, we'll go to this player, Cameron Zerha, and his possessions read okay, 19 touches, 8 inside 50s, 6 tackles and a goal. But he seems to be coasting through games right now, apparently being offered a five-year contract that was reported by Cal Toomey, which you would have to think would be around $3 million or something close to that. How would you feel if he signed on for 5 years right now? Because I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen enough here to suggest he deserves it, Mark.
I don't think he's going to sign. I haven't heard anything. That's not from any gossip or any anything that's been told to me. I just don't know. I'm just not 100% convinced. I just think it's a funny thing to say when a player starts talking about wanting to win finals and sort of, every player on the list wants to play finals. So he's basically sort of saying, well, we either start looking like we're about to play finals or I'll probably be leaving. I just thought that was an odd public comment to make. I can understand you thinking that privately. To me, you only say something like that as if you're starting to condition people to the reason you'd be leaving, because we were never going to go into this. And because he said, hopefully we'll play finals this year, as if that was going to be the benchmark. So I don't know. If they've offered him 5 years and he hasn't agreed to it now, I don't think he's going to be agreeing to it.
Mark, I wonder whether the club is saying to the other clubs that if you're going to take him, this is what it's going to cost you to try and, trigger that band one compensation.
Quite possibly, which is what they did last year.
Yeah.
So it's a good point, Frank. That might well be what they're doing because they know he's going, so they're just throwing up this big offer. I just thought his comments to make publicly at a press conference was very odd. To me, it didn't sound like someone who was committed to being part of getting them back to the finals. It was like, well, it's up to everyone else to show me that we're going to be a final side. Well, mate, you've got to play your part to help us get there. So,
yeah,
it didn't sound great to me. I don't know whether it didn't come out the right way, but it's come out a few times, and his manager said the same thing now. His manager keeps talking about him wanting to play finals. Well, okay. To me, we're not playing finals this year, so I don't know why he even talked about that. So, yeah, I'm not, I don't know. I might be reading too much into it, but I'm not 100% confident he's going to be there anyway. And the fact that it's been reported over the last 2 weeks he's been offered the 5 years, if we don't hear that he's signed in the next 2 weeks, I don't expect him to.
No, that's a really good way of looking at it, Mark, too. I didn't look at it like that. And, yeah, obviously... Yeah, I did hear his press conference talking about how he wants to play finals, and that's probably, might be a persuasive decision because he is going to get offered a somewhere else 5-year deal probably, and maybe even 4 years, and he might go for less money. Who knows?
So does Nick Larkey or Sheasel not want to play finals? They've signed with the club till 29. So, but yeah. they're saying we're going to drive the club to finals. He's going, I want finals now or I'm out of here. That's what the way it reads to me, but I might be wrong.
No, well, yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. Judging by what he's saying, that's probably one way of looking at it, I guess. So, yeah, no, fair point.
The fact his manager's backed it up again in the press in the last week has made me very suspicious. It's almost like a PR thing. Mm. You know, he's sick of playing and losing sides. He had no choice but to go sort of thing. Anyway, I hope I'm wrong, but we'll see.
No, definitely. Frank, I might as well get your thoughts on this one as well. It was about 3 years ago. He was compared to Jordan Ngoi. And it's fair to say Jordan Ngoi has gone north and Zerha is not even close to his standard right now. If he said, I'm going to sign a 5-year deal, would you be happy with that?
I'd be a little, not on the current form. No, absolutely not. We know he can play better footy. Again, there's half a dozen or more that we know are probably playing below their best, but I'd be very concerned about offering him a 5-year deal. And again, we haven't come out and said that. And I still sort of think, I wonder whether North are just sort of running it up the flagpole to sort of condition it, the Swans, if that's what the rumours are, that you're not going to get him for a 3-year deal.
You think about it, Frank. You've got George, Ford and Dersma all play exactly the same role.
Yeah.
That they can't, North aren't going to be freaking out about Zerha.
No. In fact, Mark, it's probably the one spot that we could afford to lose someone and actually not, lose a lot of sleep. I don't think if he walks at the end of the year that there'd be too many people in the media saying, well, they're in trouble now.
Hmm.
You know.
No.
So one word. Oh, sorry. Yeah, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, and so as we were saying, Dean, on his current output, I'd be concerned about offering him 5 years.
One word, Mark. Will he be here next year?
No.
What about you, Frank?
I don't think so either. Dean, because we're not playing good enough footy to if that's what's going to keep him at the club, like thinking that we can get there or just miss out, we're not doing enough. And as we all said before, he's part of the issue. I sum it up perfectly when he took that mark at half forward, could have gone over the top to Paul Curtis, but yet decided to dribble one through, which hit the point post. You know, that's not a guy that's thinking, you know, as a team.
Fair point. I'm not sure if he's ever really thought like that either, to be honest with you. He does some strange things on the football field sometimes.
So, in a nutshell, Dean, on our current form, I can't see us convincing him to stay.
No, that's understandable. Mark, unfortunately, lost CCJ and a big guy doing the Achilles with his injury history already. It doesn't bode well for his future. I feel for the bloke, because he was copping some abuse over the weekend. But next year is a contract year, and this could be a career ender for him.
Yeah, he's got a year to run on his contract with us next year. Is that correct?
Yeah, 2025. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got next year to. He's got this year to rehab himself and get back next year, and he needs. He'll need a big season next year. There's no doubt about that. He'll be under the gun all next season to. Stay on our list anyway.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, a big guy coming from an Achilles injury, you would have to think that's going to be really hard work. It generally takes, Josh Goda. It'll take a look at 12 months to recover. He's a smaller guy, so, I don't know what the history is with the big guys, but...
Clubs always need backup ruckman, so, you know... There's value in having him on the list because we the ruckman the young guy we took is it Goad we took last year he's got lots of talent but he's got 20 kilos to put on so he's going to take a bit of time.
He definitely will. I mean, Frank, two Achilles injuries in the first three rounds. Now we have new surface at Arden Street. Recently laid down, which is quite hard, I've heard. I'm not sure if that's the reason, but this is a concern to have two season-ending injuries so early, Frank, I would think.
Look, I'm hoping, Dean, that it's just bad luck. To have two players that we thought were going to contribute a fair bit this year go down with season-ending Achilles is really really disappointing. Let's hope that's the end of it, Dean, for now. If it continues, there'd be some serious questions asked.
Well, we might have about 10 picks in the mid-season draft if that's a possibility, the way we're going. So we've lost Aaron Thomas and we've lost two players to season-ending injury. So that's three picks we could have potentially in the mid-season draft. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Mark, we'll go to the reserves now. We'll talk about something a little bit more positive because I felt like I've been a bit negative this podcast, but there have been a lot of questions asked to you boys and you've handled them really well. But we'll go to the reserves. They had a good win over the weekend. Some good performances. Charlie Common, we talked about, 13 marks. Finbar Maley, Mark, looking good, 13 marks as well. Sellers, 3 goals, 3. Will Phillips, 20 disposals. Blake Drury, 21 disposals and 2 goals. But the big one here, Mark, Hamish Free, 3 disposals, 8 hitouts. Going against Mark Pitney with only 25 touches and 18 hitouts.
Oh,
probably
dear.
Best on ground. They're the ones that will be challenging for a spot this week. You like any of them to come in, possibly?
Well, just explain to me what happens if Terry gets injured.
Who gets injured?
Ruckman. Number one, Tristan Terry gets injured. Yeah, Terry gets injured. What are we going to do then?
Maybe play Darcy Tucker in the ruck. I don't know.
Bring Greenwood in. That'd be doomsday scenario.
Mally or Biggie probably playing the ruck.
Yeah. But look, I watched a fair bit of the twos, and he's. I don't think he's. Going to be sticking around beyond this year, Hamish Free. He was a long way off the pace.
Well, does Finbar Maley play up forward or is he playing a bit of ruck as well?
He's playing. Yeah, playing as a more of a centre half forward type.
He must be promising. It's like the amount of marks he's taking.
Yeah.
He also has some raw talent.
Yep.
Yeah, look, I think he's a chance to get a game this year, the way we're going. We don't have any other forwards. Like, I mean, at this stage, you'd probably have to think Sellers would come in. I think the pressure, the public pressure, more than anything, will give him a game this week. I think they still want to give Charlie Coleman a go in the back line.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to see how that works. So you probably have to think Aiden Cole would go out for that. Will Phillips is probably a big chance, I would think, for Lazaro, just an in and under midfielder to help out there, and maybe Blake Drury. I mean, there might be a few changes here, Mark.
Well, I'm hoping so. I mean, I don't think we've got much to lose, have we? I think we need to change up structurally a little bit, make ourselves a bit more dangerous in the air. Every game, that's been our biggest problem. Sellers is a very smart footballer as well. And he worked in the intra-club games, he worked well with Larky, so he's not going to get in his way. And his opponent won't be able to just fly off him and go to Larky because they're likely to use Larky as a bit of a decoy and go to Sellers. So I'd definitely be playing him. Coleman's playing no matter what, whether he's forward or back. But you'd think he has to get into the back line for core. And I'd play Drury just to try and to say to him, mate, your job is to try and hold the ball in there. We need defensive pressure, and you've got to lead the way. He's getting 21 odd possessions, as well as laying a number of tackles and kicking goals. He's obviously a clever player, so I'd be looking to give him a chance as well. I'd bring Ford into the 22. I don't think he's, as you said, he's too good to be. I'd have Stevenson as the sub. I reckon Tucker's in trouble this week.
Yep.
Colm Jones is obviously out, and I think Core should go out as well. And then I think, I agree with you. I'd bring Phillips in this week. I think it's time to give him a chance.
Yeah. What about you, Frank? Anything different there? Any players you fancy coming this week besides maybe Drury because of the whole red hair thing?
no, I agree with all of those. Again, Dean, I think it's one of those things where you could make a very, very strong argument for all of those five changes. Whether we make five changes, four or five changes, it'd be an interesting move,
two or three max.
That's what I think as well, Mark. I think there'll be two, possibly three, maybe.
Yeah,
and that'll be it. But look, I think we're probably getting to the stage now, Dean, where we need to start rewarding some of the performances in the reserves. And giving some of these guys an opportunity at senior level, if nothing else, to reward their efforts in the reserves.
I thought Big Newman did okay as well, Frank. I mean, I forgot to mention him. I don't think he's maybe a possibility, just even as a replacement for Cor. So, Mark, we obviously got Brisbane this week who are struggling and been under a bit of public scrutiny as well. I hope you're not going to say we're going to win because that seems to be jinxing us at the moment. But do you think we can at least bounce back a little bit this week?
My confidence is now dented. My prediction last week, I'd be foolish to go again with a win. If nothing else, I just want us to see us come out for the full first half and just put on full heat on Brisbane. If we make mistakes and we're down, losing, I don't care. I just want to see, if nothing else, we do what Richmond did against the Swans. There's nothing stopping us doing that except attitudinal. And I think they've just got to take up. It's a great effort from the Richmond coach to be able to get those players to buy into doing that. And they got reward for it. If we're going to be competitive in that game, we're going to have to do the same thing. Because Brisbane have got their own issues. They're running the ball very slowly at the moment. They're going up the wings. They haven't changed their game plan with the rest of the AFL, which is causing them big problems. They're moving the ball really slowly, which will suit us if they do that. But they've got some big dangerous forwards, although they've been out of form. Playing North at the moment probably makes them feel like it's a big chance to get Danaher and Hipwood back into form. But They have got some issues, and obviously emotionally they're probably feeling a bit drained by all the rumours and everything else that's going around about them. So But they also go into this game knowing they can't afford to lose it, or they're not playing finals this year. So they'll be having a red hot go. So we have to match that to have any chance.
No, I agree. And I think a good baseline would be to lay 75 to 80 tackles this week to try and at least put a little bit of pressure on. And like Frank said earlier, we're averaging 48 tackles a game. The pressure's non-existent at the moment. Frank, a bit of a strange time this week, 5:10 on a Friday afternoon, the gather round that's happening. We had Brisbane this time last year, and they started the ball rolling for us in a downward spiral. I don't think we can get any worse into a downward spiral, but I could be wrong here, Frank. How are you feeling about this Friday?
Look, I'm hoping probably a bit like the Carlton game. I think that we've got the ability to make it uncomfortable for them, but if our attitude's not there, and then McCarthy and Cameron get off the chain, and then God help us if Danaher starts to find some form, it could get really ugly for us. But I think the funny thing is, Dean, I think it's one of those games that the longer we stay in it, the more uncomfortable it'll be for Brisbane. So I think they'll want to put some distance on us really quickly and establish, a healthy margin. I think if we can stay in there at quarter time, half time, have them asking some questions of, why aren't we further in front of these guys? I think, we can stay in it, a lot longer, but I don't think we can win it.
No, I can't see us winning in the next 2 weeks, but hopefully we can put in a very competitive performance, a bit similar to the first round, I guess, against GWS or even Fremantle. I mean, we did lose in the end, but we certainly were in with a chance still going to the last quarter, so hopefully we can put in competitive performance. Well, Mark, that's all I have for you. Did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, we'll just keep our fingers crossed for a solid performance this week.
Oh, I'll be keeping everything crossed, and I'll be praying to all the gods, Buddhas and everything. So, Frank, what about yourself? You want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, boys, that's it. Yeah, like both of you, I'm just hoping that, we can make it a real arm wrestle and hopefully the guys that we bring in, if we bring them in, put their hand up to say that they want to play senior footy and be part of it. So, yeah, that's what I'm hoping, the changes are positive ones.
Yeah, time to show a bit of that ship owner spirit because, at the moment, that's not the player's fault, I don't think. I think it's just a little bit of a combination of inexperience and where the list is at the moment. So, hopefully we couple of little changes and we can turn it around. Well, Mark, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I know it wasn't the most positive podcast in the world, but, we tried, and that's all we can ask for. Mark, thanks so much for coming on.
Good on you, Dino. Good on you, Frank. Speak to you next week, boys.
Frank, thanks. I really appreciate you coming on. I'm sure I'll chat to you next week. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Mark. Look forward to it.
So, like I warned you lovely listeners at the start, it wasn't the most positive podcast in the world. That's probably my fault. The boys were trying to be upbeat a bit more than I was. But, I appreciate them both coming on. Anyways, thank you very much to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, and comments you all put out for the show. It is much appreciated. Telling your friends as well. That's how the show seems to grow. So I couldn't do this podcast without your support. If you can leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform you use as well, that would be much appreciated. At this stage, I have someone planned to come on tomorrow, someone I really rate, but I won't mention his name just in case he cancels. So look out for a show tomorrow, hopefully. If not, I'll be back Thursday with my Thursday night regulars. So that's it for tonight. Tonight, I will leave a shout out to the Tasmanian Jack, is it Jackhammers? Jack Jumpers, whatever they're called, for winning the NBL Finals. Shimbone wanted me to leave a shout out for them. A Tasmanian team, hopefully it's in 10 years' time that they don't win a premiership in the AFL and take Colby McKercher and take him away. So it's the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, I should say. So shout out to them for winning the NBL Championship. I did see the last 10 seconds of the play run there. So, just got over the line. Full credit to them in a game 5. So, good on them. So that's it. Bye for now and go Roos.